The words of God given to us today are Acts 13, verse 34 to 39. It is page 210 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere. You will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Amen. On May 1st, Joseon Daily newspaper carried an article about a small island in the South Pacific called Nauru Island and how this island became a country that had to beg from other countries. Now, the content of that article makes us think a lot about different things, and so I would like to read it to you at this time. Nauru Island, which is located between Australia and Hawaii, has a total landmass of only 21 square kilometers. It is the size of one-third of Ullondo Island. The total population as of now in 2010 is about 10,000. And this small island is surrounded by corals, covered by gulls and albatross. Now, these birds that visited the island dropped their waste on the corals and the islands over thousands of years. And in 1883, German capitalists who visited Nauru found a great quantity of phosphate rocks all over the island. The phosphate rocks, together, the bird droppings together with the corals turned into phosphate rocks. And the entire island of Nauru became one great open strip mine for those rocks. And after this, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, and England companies employed Nauru people to carry away the phosphate rocks. When Second World War ended in 1945 and the occupational government came to an end in 1968, Nauru became an independent republic, and the phosphate rocks rock mines became that of Nauru Republic. And the Nauru government continued to mine for phosphate rocks the same way that foreign companies did, because there were phosphate rocks of high purity. Once the earth was removed, there was no need for high technology. Cash began to pour in, and Nauru people no longer worked. They hired foreign laborers and lived on the revenues generated by the mines, and all of the farms turned into strip mines for phosphate rocks. People imported canned goods and stocked their refrigerators with them and ate them. Elementary schools were free, medical services were free, and houses were free. In mid-1980s, the GNP of Nauru at one point exceeded $20,000, and people who had never been outside the country went on shopping tours to Hawaii, Fiji, and Singapore, and even flew to Melbourne, Australia to watch a rugby game. They imported sports cars in Nauru. There is only one single lane road. It's 18 kilometers long, and the speed limit is 40 kilometers per hour. Now, the road is damaged these days in many places, so cars cannot travel well. And one resident said this in an interview with the foreign media. One police officer imported the top-of-the-line sports car Lamborghini, but he was so fat that he could barely fit himself into the driver's seat, and so he could hardly ride it. This resident also said that there were crazy people who even used $1 bills as toilet papers. Now, two problems exploded in the 1990s. About 90% of the entire population was overweight, and about 50% suffered from diabetes. This was the result of only depending on processed food instead of fresh vegetables and seafood. The more serious problem was that the phosphate rocks that covered the island were being exhausted. The government hurried to build a port to revive the fishery, but instead of catching fish, the residents enjoyed swimming there. It tried to develop farming, but farming was impossible on a land where surface earth had been removed. And development of tourism was even more impossible with the land that had been stripped up to its bones. And because of the lowered earth surface, Nauru became the most representative victim of the rising water level resulting from global warming. In 1990s, Nauru government borrowed foreign debt using its foreign real estate investments as collateral. They sold nationalities to foreigners who wanted to evade taxes and to terrorist organizations, and also allowed secret banking along the lines of Swiss Bank. After a 9/11 terrorist attack on the U.S., the U.S. government froze assets of Nauru Bank. That year, Nauru procured the project of building Australia's refugee facility on its land in return for cash aid. In 2003, the phosphate rocks were officially declared to have been totally exhausted. In December 2005, Air Nauru, the national air carrier, stopped its operations. In 2008, the Australian refugee facility was closed. And with that, the sole cash source left on Earth for Nauru disappeared. And with that, the prosperity of the Nauru people that lived a wasteful life on the earth that was on the land that was the size of one third of Ulleungdo came to an end like a spring dream. If we were to magnify this small island Nauru, it would become the world we're living in now. All over the world, the people, men, are stripping away natural resources with abandon. However, natural resources are not inexhaustible. Like phosphate rocks of Nauru Island, there will come a time when they will be exhausted. If this is true, unless men move away from the consumerist culture of today, then wouldn't all of us one day meet the fate that is the same as the residents of Nauru Island who had to turn to begging upon having exhausted their natural resources? If we were to further shrink this Nauru Island, then it becomes a story of each one of us. Our lives do not last forever on Earth. Like the minerals of Nauru Island, it will certainly come to an end. But everybody, as if their lives would last forever, go after their worldly desires and eat away and waste away their lives. And like the island of Nauru, which became a wasteland after the exhaustion of phosphate rocks, live with their souls that have become desolate. The story of Nauru Island is not some story of some faraway island that is in the South Pacific, that is far from us. This is actually our own portrait of how we vainly eat away our own life, which is more precious than any money, with worldly desires. Now, Israel people, having been liberated from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, had their final destination as the land of Canaan, And the land was not a destination that Israel people chose at their discretion. It was a land of promise that God gave them, promised them, from the time of their ancestor Abraham. It was a land especially prepared by God for Israel people who had lived 400 years of slavery. And so, if we think about it, if God had prepared this land for these people, how beautiful this land must have been. And so, the Bible calls this land a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses led the Israel people through 40 years in the desert to the Moab plain, to the east of Canaan. This was in Moses' job. Thereafter, the job of leading the Israel people to cross the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan fell to Joshua, the successor of Moses. And so Moses to the Israel people he led for 40 years, left his last will. And the book that records his last will is the Deuteronomy. So the entire book of Deuteronomy is the last will of Moses. Now, the content of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 to 17 is as follows. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Israel people who were at once slaves, having come into the Canaan, making that land the purpose of their lives, and thereby forgetting God who gave them that land, Moses was warning them against committing this kind of foolishness. Now, there's two words that are very important in Moses' warning. Those words are beautiful and soon. Moses did not tell Israel people that if they turn their back on God, they will go under in the land that God gave them. Moses said, you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. And the fact that Moses' words, these words, are recorded in the Bible shows that they are the words of God. The successor of Moses, the person who had the calling to lead Israel people to enter Canaan, to conquer it and allocate the land among them, Joshua, also left the following wills to the Israel people. Joshua chapter 23, verse 15 to 16. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Joshua said the same thing that Moses had said. You will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Now, those words of Joshua, too, are recorded as God's words in the Bible. From such words of God, we come to two realizations. The first is that men perish in beautiful land. Men do not perish in barren land. This is because in the barren land, there is no room for man's soul to become ill. Men always come undone in beautiful land, a situation of abundance and overflowing conditions. In making the material abundance an absolute, men's souls are bound to become ill. If the island of Nauru had been just made up of entirely of just rocks, then the residents of Nauru would probably live today as diligent fishermen, living happily day by day. But because this island was covered up with phosphate rocks, the same as piles of money, they became undone in that beautiful land. The second realization is that when one begins to perish, one perishes very quickly. Let's just say that a small hole, a size of a needle hole, came to be in a very big dam. From the small hole, it would be very difficult to detect the water seeping through, and in the beginning, it will look as if it will not have any kind of effect. But no matter how small that hole is, if that hole is left alone without being plugged, that small hole will become a larger hole, and soon the size of water stream will not only just become stronger, but it will, in an instant, bring down the entire dam. The way men perish is the same way. Even if there are warning signs in the beginning, it will look like nothing is happening. But if the source of these warning signs is not removed, the destruction will come quickly and all at once. Now, it takes thousands of years for bird droppings to turn into phosphate rocks and cover the island. But for the residents of Nauru to strip out the phosphate rocks and come undone, it only took 30 years. 30 years was sufficient for that to happen. Now, these people did not come undone over thousands of years. They, in fact, became undone on the beautiful island very quickly. To perish means to disappear. That a country perish or that a company perishes away means that this country and this company disappear from this land. The reason that a country known as Shilla no longer exists today is because Shilla perished 1,000 years ago from history. In the same way, to say that a life perishes means that nothing is left behind. Now, our life is not some theory without substance or some abstract game. Life manifests itself through a physical body and concrete actions, and without a doubt, a man's life is made up of very concrete actions. Let's think back on our past week. How concretely, how really do we live our life? But how is it possible that this life with substance, this concrete life, can disappear without a trace? Let's say that there is a fish on this table that is so alive that it's leaping around. The reason that we are able to see and able to become aware of this fish is because fish has real substance. But just by having a real substance does not mean that the fish will last forever. No matter how alive this fish may be now, one day that fish will disappear without a trace. because it will, without fail, decay. Everything that decays will ultimately, at the end, disappear. Although it looks like we're living a real concrete life, one day our life will disappear without a trace. The reason for that is because our body, just like the fish, is an existence that will one day decay. In fact, everything in this life will one day decay. Therefore, the reason that God warned to Israel's people, whom he loved, after he led them to the promised land, Canaan, that he repeatedly warned them warned them that they would soon perish in the beautiful land, was to warn them that in this beautiful land that God gave, if they make the beautiful things of the world as their life purpose, then no matter how that life may be brilliant and concrete, it will surely rot away. Therefore, what we're being told is that while we have life in this body that will one day rot away, while our body moves, what we should seek for are the things that will not decay. That we should graft ourselves onto things that will never see decay. But Israel people who entered that beautiful land ended up indulging themselves only with that beautiful land, and in doing so, they perished soon from that land. So, where is the eternity that will never decay, that we should seek after while we are alive? Today's passage gives us the answer. Let's take a look at today's verse 34. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. Today's passage, which we have been looking at for the 13th week, is the content of the sermon that Apostle Paul gave at the Jewish synagogue in Pisidian Antioch. The subject of the sermon is God, and his essence is Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, within that sermon, in noting that God had raised Jesus among the dead, expressed it as God never letting him see decay. Verse 35. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Paul, quoting again Psalm 16, verse 10, repeatedly explained that God did not let Jesus see decay. Let's take a look at verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. There was no one among Israel people who did not admire David. But even no matter how great David might have been, he could not be equal to Jesus. He lived a very splendid, very real life as a king of a nation. But when his breathing left his body disappeared with decaying. Let's take a look at verse 37. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Apostle Paul, emphasize yet again that God did not let Jesus see decay. Why is Paul
하나님께서 예수님을 썩음을 당하게 하지 아니하셨다고 되풀이해서
repeatedly emphasizing that Jesus did not see decay. It is because that is the true essence of the resurrection of Jesus.
인간의 죄값을 대신 치르시기 위해서 십자가에 못 박히신 예수님.
Jesus, who was nailed to the cross to pay for the sins of man, clearly died on the cross. And the Roman soldiers pierced Jesus' side to confirm Jesus' death, and people laid his dead body in a cave tomb. If so, then from that moment, the body of Jesus must begin to decay. From that very moment, Jesus' body must start to decay and begin to disappear without a trace. But far from decaying, Jesus' body, by God raising Jesus from that state, became the one who will never see decay. Apostle Paul, by emphasizing this fact and what he wants to tell us by that emphasis, is that only in Jesus Christ there is eternity that will never decay. That only the words of Jesus Christ can graft us onto eternity. No one else will do. Only Jesus Christ. Only by the words of Jesus Christ is this possible. Because there is only Jesus Christ, only one who never saw decay, and on the contrary, who overcame decaying forever. Now, Christians are those who gain true life in Jesus Christ. True life does not mean the life of the body that will one day decay. True life is the eternal life that will never decay. True life is the eternal life in Jesus Christ, who lived again through the power of God, that should be decayed, but forever was exempted from seeing decay. So there could only be only one evidence that we obtain that true life within Jesus Christ. It is to live by pursuing after eternal value that will never decay. If we call ourselves a Christian, but are staking our lives on things that will one day rot away, then we are still people who have not understood the true meaning of life of Jesus Christ. Unless we turn from this present life, the more beautiful the circumstances of our lives are to the world, we will perish soon in that beautiful land. Because a life of a person who is away from that true life is actually decaying away moment by moment. In front of Yangwanshin Mission Memorial Hall, there is a great Zelkoba tree, which is estimated to be about 200 years old. After Seoul City designated a tree as a tree to be protected in 1981, Mapo District Office always measures the tree's vitality and giving it shots of nutrients and is making all kinds of efforts to take care of it. Now, it is not easy for even a person to regularly get nutrient shots regularly. So how is the government institution using taxpayers' money caring for that tree with such efforts. It's because that tree for 200 years did not decay and is alive. Unlike other trees that were planted 200 years ago, this tree did not rot away, and a life is within that tree. So long as that tree does not rot away, so long as that tree has life in it, the more the time passes, people will treat it with even more preciousness, and they will make more efforts to take care of it. Now, if a mere tree is treated, treated by people with more respect as the time goes on, then as time goes on, so long as it has life that does not decay, then why wouldn't God, when our souls do not decay and live in eternal life in Jesus Christ and pursue after eternal values, who did not let Jesus see decay, wouldn't also take care of our lives so that they too will never see decay? Let us now all dwell within the true life that is within Jesus Christ, within the words of life of Jesus Christ. Let us pursue after eternal values that will never decay and that will never disappear, even if our breathing stops one day, so our bodies will rot away without a trace. The trace of our lives will shine within Jesus Christ as an eternal jewel, because Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ, is the one who will never see decay. Let us pray. The Israel people who entered the promised land of Canaan looked away from God and made the land that God gave them as their life purpose, and their lives ended up rotting away quickly in that beautiful land that God gave. Like the lives of people of island of Nauru, who turned phosphate rocks that God gave them as gifts as their tools of desire, ended up decaying in short time in that beautiful island that God gave them. Lord, thank you for reminding us of the true picture of our lives through the lives of Israel people and people of Nauru Island who are foolish in staking our lives on things of this world that will only rot away. We confess that we have let our lives fall to decay without giving a thought. Please forgive us. Help us not to forget that the true life of Jesus that God forever protects from decay, that life is already present within us. Help us through the word and prayers to eat and drink in that life every day. Allow us to do our best with the lives that have been given to us, but allow us to do so not because it in itself is the purpose, but as a way to pursue eternal life through such life. And in doing so, allow our lives to become the jewels of life that never decay, that forever shine in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.